for tapes of end time meetings, deliverance services, or Lake Hamilton Bible Campground's publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Writes Post Office Box 21516, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas, zip 71903.
Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Saturday afternoon, February the 20th, 1999. Ladies' conference being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Mildred Coffey of Millington, Tennessee, is the speaker of the afternoon.
Lord, the Lord is good.
All the time.
All the time. Amen, amen, amen. You know, Shirley called me a while back, I think sometime last month, and asked me what I was going to teach on over here. I said, I have no idea. And then Brother Glenn called me later and asked me the same thing, so I said, well, I really don't know. I had been teaching on healing and in the area of deliverance, and so I said I've been kind of looking at that and studying on it. And so finally I just said, well, okay, we'll teach on healing by the stripes of Jesus.
Amen.
And I have been in such warfare ever since I said that, ever since the words came out of my mouth. Never again will I tell the devil what I'm going to teach on. You know, that's what we were hearing. Sister Shirley was talking about, by your words, life or death. And, you know, he likes to find out what you're going to say and to attack you. I got to pull this coat off. But, you know, greater is he that's within me than he that's in this world. And I praise the Lord for the authority that's in the name of Jesus. But I'll tell you what, we do hurt ourselves with our mouth. Jesus said his words are spirit and they were life. So our words are spirit. They're either life or death. And I'm going to share this afternoon, as I said, I'm going to begin in just a few minutes with the healing by the stripes of Jesus. But I want to share something else first. The Lord has been giving me a lot. And Sister Ruth this morning, when she shared, really, really blessed me. I didn't get to hear it all, but I'm going to get the tape. We're in a warfare, and I think this is why the Lord has had me in the area of healing, teaching in the area of healing. And so I was asking the Lord the other day, and I said, Lord, what do you want me to share in the area of healing? And so I'm going to listen to the Spirit of the Lord as I've got notes, but I'm going to share with you the things that the Lord gives me. And you know, I believe in healing, and I believe in deliverance, healing by deliverance. Through deliverance, calling out the problem, the demonic force behind it, and then praying and standing on the word for the healing of what the demons have done to your flesh and works people. I'm a living testimony of that also, and I praise the Lord for it. But before we start, I want to pray. And then I've got a scripture I want to use before I use this one. So let's pray and let's bind the spirits over this place. Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we come as your children this afternoon. We come in the authority given us where we're seated in Christ Jesus in the third heaven, far above principalities and powers and rulers of darkness of this world. Father, we are seated at the right hand at your right hand in Christ Jesus. And our authority comes from the throne, and we take it. And you said in your word, whatever we bind on earth is bound in heaven, and whatever we loose is loose. And we stand this afternoon, and we bind those spirits. We bind every force of darkness and every harassing demon. I bind the strong man and each one in here that would try to project or stop anyone from hearing in the name of Jesus. I take dominion over those spirits. I bind witchcraft. I bind Satanism and all the spirits of the occult that would try to come against my mind in any ways this afternoon or my spirit or the words of my mouth in Jesus' name. Father, I thank you for that authority, and I thank you that as we bind on earth, you said you'd bind in heaven, and you said what we loose, that you would loose in heaven, and so I loose, Father, within us the Spirit of the Lord to open our ears that we might hear, that open our spiritual ears, our spiritual eyes, and our understanding, and that the word might fall on good ground, Father, in Jesus' name, that the enemy cannot come and steal it, in Jesus' name. And I thank you for the authority that's in the name of Jesus. And we give you glory and honor in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Over in Genesis, I'm going to Isaiah 53 in just a minute, but I want to give you something that the Lord has really been dealing with me about in Genesis chapter 2. In verse 7, it said, "And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul." In Genesis 1, in verse 26, said, "And God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over the cattle and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth." So God created man in his image. In the image of God created he him, male and female. And God blessed them and said, God said unto them, "Be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it and have dominion over it. The fish and over the fowls of the air and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth." And you know, someone said it, I think it was Sister Ruth this morning, that we have dominion over this ground here. This is the land that God has given us dominion over. We tried to take dominion over the whole earth. Now we can. I know the word says every place where the soles of your feet, where you step, you claim that ground, you possess that land. But we need to possess this first. We need to break the enemy's hold over this. Because, you see, he's after the soul. The warfare that we're going through is for the soul of man. And if the enemy controls the soul, and he's doing it through the flesh, doing it through this ground that we're in, so we need to get him out of our ground. The word says that Christ Jesus is coming for a bride without spot or wrinkle. And years ago, the Lord showed me that we're so full of wrinkles and spots that we need to receive the deliverance to get the spots and wrinkles out. Now, you may not believe in deliverance, and you may not believe in healing through deliverance, but I do. And I'm going to share with you, and I'm also going to share with you. You know, I don't care how God heals, I just know he does. The laying on hands, there's the gifts of healing. But you know, if we're going to walk into the kingdom of God, in the kingdom of God, in that hundredfold ministry, and when we walk by, that we're going to see people healed and delivered, and you're going to see demons scream at you and all of this, when you're walking in that hundredfold ministry that God wants to put us in, you're going to have to get dominion over your ground. You've got to overcome the enemy by the words of your mouth and by the authority that Jesus Christ has given unto you. But you see, we have so long depended upon ministers to heal us and deliver us. And you know, God heals babies. You know what I'm saying? If you read about the gifts and the power and the manifestation of them, the gifts of healing and those gifts come forth to increase people's faith, to let them see the power of God and know that God is still alive and well on this earth. But the sister, I think, I forget which one read it, that there are different areas of where we walk, and if we're going to walk in that authority, in that power, then we've got to learn to receive healing for ourselves and deliverance for ourselves. Overcome it. I was telling her, she said there's so much more she would like to share, that I was so blessed because she was talking my language. And I was telling her, I said, you know, she's talking about, said that the Lord had gotten her into the Revelation 2nd and 3rd chapter, and I said, and talking about the overcomer and overcoming whatever, and there, and I said, yeah, and over in chapter 15 of Revelation, it talks about those that overcame. What did they overcome? They came overcome the mark of the beast, his image and his number and his name, the flesh. We overcome this flesh, and we're going to do it through standing on the Word, speaking the Word, and putting the enemy under our feet. And you know, this morning, I'm going to shoot a lot of rabbits. I'm not going to do like Shirley. I'm going to shoot them this afternoon. But we really have got to go in every area of standing upon this Word and not having to have someone to minister to us, but we need to get cleaned up and get free so we can go and minister to those around about us. How can we minister to the world when the enemy wants to keep us sick all the time? When he wants to attack us? And what I started to say, and I'll finish it now, that this morning a lot of people was ministered to, and the enemy would attack your mind before you got out of this church and tell you you didn't get anything. Those that we prayed for healing, the enemy say, you didn't get healed. The Word says that by the stripes of Jesus you were healed. You were healed 2,000 years ago. You were healed at the cross. We are healed now. And you know, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. You were saved. You are saved, and you're being saved. And so it says the Word becomes flesh within you, and you overcome, that you are going to be free from all of this, and then you can minister to those around about you. I shared with my church the other night before I left, and I said to them, I'm just sick of you people. I really am. I'm tired of tending to babies. I said, some of you have been in this church ever since I have, and you still want somebody to pray for you. Don't call on me to pray for you. I'm through with you. I told him, I said, it better be an emergency. A big one, if you want me to pray. I said, grow up. And that's what God's telling us, grow up. Let's grow up. You know what? You know what? Let me tell you. I got to tell you this. The Lord has been sending money into our church in plain brown wrappers. I tell you, there's no return address on it. There's no name on it. And it's cash. And I said, man, they got faith. They're sending their cash through the mail. And God has been supplying our needs. And I tell you, I praise the Lord. I really do, because I was telling somebody, we have a very small church. We used to have a big church. But we got into deliverance. Well, I told you I shouldn't have lied. And we lost a lot of people. And just gradually, they just didn't want deliverance. As someone was saying, I think Shirley said, the persecution. Well, praise the Lord. They called me everything in the book, and they said that about a church. And nothing surprises me, and it doesn't offend me, because you know what? I recognize who's doing it. You recognize who's calling you those names. It's coming out of people's mouth, but that's not them. Right. And when you learn that, and you look at it, and you can't always walk up and say, well, I bind you in the name of Jesus. You'd like to. You just say, well, praise the Lord, and go on, you know. But I want you to know that the Lord has supplied us. I was telling them, whoever I was talking about, that we've got plush carpet on our floor. I mean, you bear up in it. And you get on it and you don't get hurt. We have a baby grand piano. You say you're bragging. No, I'm telling you what God has done. We have a baby grand piano that was given to our church. And we have the bill of sales for it. And I think they paid $14,000. I said, I never heard of a baby grand piano in a storefront church. But we take it. But what I want you to know, no matter what the enemy says or tries to do to you, God will meet your need if you will be faithful to Him. If you obey what He's saying to you and you're not get offended, don't get offended. You can't help anyone if you let them offend you. If somebody throws water on you or punches you in the nose, I got thrown on the floor this morning, but that's okay. Didn't bother me. I just got over there and prayed some more. But I'm telling you, people, God is wanting us to be overcomers, to overcome, possess this land we're in, and we need to look at what Jesus did upon the cross. I have a lot I'd like to share, but I'll do it another time. Over in Isaiah, in chapter 53, and you know, our biggest problem is unbelief. Years ago, I preached a sermon, The Unbelieving Believer. That we are unbelieving believers. Not all. We're not as bad as we used to be. We're getting there. But if we will begin to believe this word and take it like it was spoken to us, which it is. It is spoken to me. It's spoken to you. And it's God gave it to us for life. And if we'll take it and begin to believe it, not middle of sentence. And the reason I'm saying not mental sentence, I kind of have people come up and want me to pray for them, and they won't shut up long enough for me to pray. They're trying to impress me with what they know. I've been there, done that. I know exactly where they're coming from. And when you know that, what you need to do is say, hey, God, I don't know everything. In fact, I said over there this morning, I thought, you mean I got to follow all of those people? I feel, you know, I'd rather been first on this, you know. But after Ruth and Shirley ministered, shoot, you know, you wonder, Lord, why do you want me up there? So, but you know what? There's no respect of persons in God. And so when we will obey the word and begin to believe it and speak it and walk in it, we're going to see God do mighty things in us, for us, and then for those that we pray for. Don't you want to walk? Don't you want to be able to minister deliverance to the drug addicts? I've worked in a mission yesterday. I haven't been down in quite a while. I'm fixing to go to Little Rock and do a couple of seasons over the mission. And you have prostitutes. You have drug addicts, alcoholics, rapists, murderers. You have everything under the sun. Some of those men are put in those missions from jail. And you go in and you teach the word to them. And God, and what we want to do is to be able to go in and be so full of the Spirit of the Lord and the Word of the Lord that when you go in, you can lay hands on them and get them delivered and get their, you got to get their soul back, because they can't receive the Word till you get the soul back. And minister to those people, not only those. I'm using that as an example because we have got to be able to minister to those that are hurting around about us. And everyone in here knows the Word well enough. We should be ministering to everybody. We need to get busy doing the Father's work. And why don't we do it? Well, if I pray for them, you might do like the first time I prayed for someone. They might die. They might not get healed. God said lay hands on them. His word said lay hands on people. And they would be healed. I didn't even read that he said pray. Sister Ruth prayed, laid a hand on me yesterday. I told her, I didn't cough any last night, and all morning long I ministered until right at the last, and I just got, my throat kind of wore out through deliverance this morning and got real dry. I was drinking water all along. She I don't know if she prayed, but I didn't hear her pray, but she laid hands on me and I received it because I knew she was laying hands on me for healing. The cough that I got and the attack I got under came when I told what I was going to teach on healing over here. The devil says, I'll make you sick. You're not going over there and tell nobody. You'll be over there coughing your head off. I said, just let it go. I'm going. If I cough their brother breath, and I said, I rebuke you in the name of Jesus. I'm not going to do it. And I'm going. I'm going to tell them what you did, and I'm going to tell them that because the words of my mouth. God told me, he said, by the words of your mouth, you open the door to get under attack. Now, that's why it's so important that we don't confess everything. Go to the doctor. Don't go home and tell everybody and his brother what the doctor said. Don't do it. Did you know, I don't know why people do that, but they go and the doctor said this, and they tell all the negative things. And when they say that, you need to say, hey, don't you know what the word says? By the stripes of Jesus, you were healed. You see, the word also tells us to where two agree is touching anything, it shall be done. Well, we take that as laying hand, you know, I'm going to get a hold of Mildred and she's going to agree with me and it's going to be done. Now, that's fine if you want to do it that way. But I stand with the word. I'm coming to get my water over here. And I agree with what the water says. Water says. What the word says. That, the Spirit of the Lord says. Okay. But you get in agreement with what the word says. And you stand when the word says, by the stripes of Jesus, you are healed. Then you say, I agree with that and that's mine. But the enemy will come and say, you don't look healed. Okay, let's read Isaiah 53, verse 1. I'm going to finish that in a little bit. He says, who has believed our report, and to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? Who has believed the report that Jesus went to the cross and died for your healing, the stripes on his back? You say, well, I know that. But do you believe it? Have you received it enough that you can apply that word to your flesh? I had such a headache after this stuff hit me. And I was sitting on the couch, and I said, Jim, pray for me. Put your hand on my head. He got a big old hand. He slapped me right there. Oh. I say, and it was just as hot, you know. And I said, oh, that feels... I said, don't take it away. He said, sit down over there, woman. I'm going to do deliverance on you. I said, you better. And you know what he went after? He went after witchcraft on me. I had been cursed, and he began to call it off, and I got free of the headache that night when he did deliverance on me. And when he got through, I got up and began to walk the floor, and I can't pray, hardly standing still. I walk an awful lot and pray. And I was saying, by the stripes of Jesus, I'm healed. Flesh, come in line with the Word of God. But you are healed. You were healed 2,000 years ago. You're a liar, flesh, and you're not going to lie anymore. And I command you to be to line up with the Word of God, in Jesus' name. You see, take dominion and authority. I read in Genesis 1, take dominion over that, over this ground. Make it line up with, you say, well, I tried that, but it didn't work. Well, you know what I do? I just keep doing it. I went, Brother Glenn prayed for me a while ago. I had got hit from this morning, this afternoon, early this morning, about some stuff back in the back. And I asked him to pray for me. He laid hands on me. So when he got through, I went over in the corner and I was walking and saying, by the stripes of Jesus, by the stripes of Jesus, devil, you're defeated. Devil, you're defeated. You take that somewhere else. You're not putting it on me. And I continued doing it until it lifted. It was beginning to get better after he laid his hands on me, but then I wanted it all off. And so you see, it's warfare. It's warfare, people. We talk about warfare. It's warfare. You warn in the spirit for your flesh and your soul. And you've got to fight the enemy by the spirit, because that's the weapon you use against him. And the weapon is the Word of God. Jesus cast out demons with his word. He sent his word and healed them of their diseases and delivered them from their destruction. So it's the word, the enemy, the word in your mouth is a sword, is a two-edged sword against the enemy. And so God expects us to use that sword, but we've got to believe that it will work for you. Now, it's easy to believe it will when you're around and people are encouraging you. And, you know, I know that, and you know that, and so it's going to work. But what happens when you're home by yourself and you pray, and you might call somebody on the phone and say, pray for me. I don't do that. You say, that's pride. No, it's not. You know what it is? I don't know what they believe. I don't tell anybody, those women, that, bless them, Lord. I don't know whether they believe enough. They say they do, but the way they walk and the way they live, I don't know. And so I just get my Bible and I say, Lord, this is what your word says. You know, he says, come and let us reason together. And the only thing I got to reason with is his word. I said, this is what you said to me. Now, I'm believing for you to perform your word in me. And he does. And he doesn't do it the first time I say it. You know why? Because as I quote the word, how does faith come? And hearing. And the word in your mouth, hearing you say it, you will believe what you say more than you're going to believe what I say or anyone else does. And so you speak it out of your mouth, and as you do, your spiritual ears will hear. It'll begin to take root in you, and it'll begin to come forth, and you'll say, hey, that thing's gone. But it's a battle. It's a warfare. The enemy will say when you pray, it didn't work. I always like to tell him, well, hide and watch, because it does work. It does work. And if he can get you in doubt, you see, our warfare over in 2 Corinthians says, in chapter 10 says, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. And the enemy loves to exalt himself. Tell me, if the first person I prayed for died, I guess I better explain that. We weren't in deliverance at that time. We had just gone into our church, and we were praying for everybody, and we were seeing God do so much. And this lady called us and said, we got a friend that's got a husband that got cancer, and I don't remember, I said cancer, but I really don't remember what the problem was. So she wants you to go pray for him, and we want you to go pray for him. So we didn't realize, since Jim and I were so new in it, we packed up our little Bible, and we took off downtown, and we went to pray. We didn't realize that we didn't know what his will was in that situation. We didn't know what he wanted. But we went down there and we prayed. And he was in the hospital. He had already made his funeral arrangements. He had everything planned. He had just laid out the whole thing. But we didn't know that. And we were so smart, we didn't even know that we should find out that if he wanted us to pray. We just went in there, we dabbed him with oil, prayed, you know, poured oil on him, laid hands on him, and prayed healing for him, and believe for him to heal, be healed. And we went home. We didn't see any evidence of it at all. We went home, and the next couple of days later, we got the word he died. Man, it was a while before I wanted to go pray for anybody else. But I want to tell you something. We do a lot of things in our ignorance. We really need to seek the Lord before we run and do the things we do. I told y'all I was shooting rabbits. I'll tell you something else. We got a man in our church, and he'll get this tape. He gets every one of them. I love you, Martin, but you make me so mad. He won't hear anything. He's very religious. He's a sweet guy, but he's so religious. He's got this thing of witnessing in him. He's 80-something years old, and he's got a witness. And that's fine if the Lord leads you and directs you and prepares the way. But he didn't care whether anybody, you know, he just goes and witnesses. I found out he was going into a Chinese restaurant and trying to get those people changed to the Lord. I think it was Chinese. Might have been another one, but it was Oriental. And he was trying to get them. They have all their false gods and things all in there. And he was coming back, and he said, he came into church one night, and he had, I found a piece of paper in the back. It had some kind of weird drawings on it. And I knew it had to be his. So I picked it up, and I went up there to him. I said, Morton, does this belong to you? He said, yes, it is. I said, what is it? He said, I'm trying to learn the language so I can witness better for those people. Bless his heart. I said, Morton, you need to witness. You need to go lead people to Jesus. But you need to hear when God and let God lead you to where he wants you to go. And the word says that you be a witness as you go. But anyways, this is what we do. We do not seek the Lord a lot of times when we go and we get in trouble. But if we really believe, and that will hold you back when you say, well, what if I pray for them and nothing happens? When the word becomes a reality in you. You know, Jesus said, the word said in John 1:12, said the word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory. And what I pray is, Lord, let that word become flesh in me, so that it would be so real to me that it would change me. And this is what we've got to do, is to believe it. And if we walk continually in sickness, and we don't believe the word, we need to ask ourselves, are we saying that Jesus didn't do enough on the cross for me? You say, that's hard. But he went to the cross. He took those stripes upon his back. I was reading in one of my Bibles, I don't remember which one, and it was talking about it was a Roman whip that whipped him. And that there was little pieces of metal, I don't remember what all the things it said, in the ends of those lashes, that whip. And every time he was hit with that thing, it would peel the skin. Oh, that's what it was made like that for. And he went through that. Now, the word says, he that knew no sin became sin for us upon the cross. We believe him for salvation, but we mental sin a lot of our healing. And God wants us to, he wants us to be healed and whole so we can be a witness as we go to those around about us. We haven't got there yet. And the body of Christ has so many physical problems that I believe that as we go before the Lord, first of all, we need to confess our unbelief. And we need to ask the Lord to forgive us for not receiving. You know, when someone prays for you, you've got to receive what they pray. You know, praying the word, if you're praying for healing, you've got to receive your healing. So we need to receive this word. You know, it's true whether you believe it or not. It's already settled. God settled it. The word says it's settled in heaven. We had a Baptist preacher one time. He used to tell us, I came out of Baptist church. He said, I loved him. He taught me a lot. And he said, the word is true. And he said, and I've heard people say, the word is true. I believe in that settled it. And he said, the Lord spoke to him and said, the word's true, whether you believe it or not. And it's already settled. So it is true, whether we believe it or not. And in verse three, he said, he is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrow and acquainted with grief, and we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was oppressed, and we esteemed him not. Surely he has borne our grief and carried our sorrow, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. James said over in James 1, verse 8, said, a double-minded man will receive nothing from the Lord. A double-minded man is a man with two souls. The mind, will, and emotion is part of your soul, isn't it? So that part, that double-minded man, we can believe it when we read it or when we're with a group of people, but then the doubt and unbelief comes in, and that other part, the other doubtful, double-minded part of us takes over, tries to take over. And so God is saying to us today, he's saying, believe the word, receive the word, and walk in it. Look at the cross. You know, they gave this illustration, this Shirley had, I was sitting on there, and inside me was just weeping because the song was what was really ministering to me. Of course, it all was. But, you know, God wants us to become broken vessels. He wants us yielded to Him, but He also wants us to be a clean vessel. He wants us cleansed. Over in Matthew's Gospel, in chapter 12, I preached in the church the other night on the Lamb of God, and did deliverance afterwards on the Lamb and the blood that was shed. You know, I don't know, I don't think I have that here, the scripture, but over in Exodus 12, when the blood was put on the doorpost, the destroyer could not come in. That blood was an animal's blood. It was a lamb without spot. John 1:29 says, John said when he saw Jesus coming, says, "Behold, the lamb that taketh away the sins of the world." Well, that lamb, the spotless lamb of God, the blood that was shed, as it's put on our doors, see, if the enemy could not come in through the blood of that animal, the destroyer could not come in to destroy them on the night that they left Egypt, how much greater weapon do we have as the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ? And people, I just want to see us walking free from the enemy and healed, and walking in power and overcoming the enemy in every area of our lives. And he is a defeated foe. Jesus has already defeated him. He's already healed us. And we need to appropriate it. And I'm going to keep harping on it and keep preaching. I think there's several tapes back there that I did back during Christmas on healing. But I'm telling you, I listen to these. I tell my people, I said, I'm putting everything I preach on tape at home, and I take it home and listen to it myself over and over again, because I need to hear it again. And if you've got any physical problem in your body, get some of those tapes on healing and play them over and over again. Go through on the end of those tapes, there's deliverance, the healing. And when you're by yourself, you can get just all kinds of deliverance and the word, and get the word in you, and you can. I'm telling you that they are wonderful. I'm not talking about the teaching. I'm talking about the thing of having the tape, so you can go it over and over and over again till you get it ministered to, and get free from the problem. Over in Matthew 12, chapter 12, and verse 22. Says, then there was brought unto him, to Jesus, one possessed with the devil, blind and dumb, and he healed him insomuch that the blind and dumb both spake and saw. I'm still going to the stripes of Jesus, but I wanted to put this in so I would not forget it. Jesus healed this man that was blind and dumb by casting the spirit out of him. Because when they asked him over in Mark's Gospel, when they asked the man what happened, he said that he was, that the devils were driven out of him. So, you see, if the enemy has come in and caused sickness, he's talking about cancer. Cancer is the spirit. You know, Shirley was talking about that. Heart problems. Let me tell you about my daughter-in-law. My daughter-in-law was having heart problems and acted like she's having a heart attack. And we were doing deliverance on her one night, and run after a heart attack, and she passed out. I mean, she looked dead. And, you know, the first thing you think is fear wants to get a hold of you. And I thought, oh, no, you don't. I know who you are. And I rebuked that spirit, and I said, demon, you come out of her in the name of Jesus. You're not going to kill her. And that thing started to laugh. He said, I almost fooled you. He said, I make her so scared she thinks she's having a heart attack. How many times have we been deceived by a symptom and received it because fear opened the door and we let it in? And we need to discern it. We need to rebuke it. The word says, resist the devil and he'll flee from you. How do you resist him? Same way Jesus did. It is written. Jesus resisted Satan when he had came to him and said, if you'll bow down and worship me, I'll give you all these kingdoms. And he said, if you're hungry, turn these stones into bread. Jesus said, it's written that men shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. So we need to dig into the word and believe it and stand upon it. Now, let's go over to John's Gospel in chapter 12 in John's Gospel. though he had done, talking about Jesus, that though he had done so many miracles before them, yet they believed him not on him. That the saying of Isaiah the prophet might be fulfilled, which he spake, Lord, who has believed our report, and to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? Therefore, they could not believe, because that Isaiah said again, he has blinded their eyes and hardened their heart, that they should not see with their eyes nor understand with their heart, and be converted, and I should heal them. And I was reading that, and I always thought the enemy was the one that did it, but God's the one that blinded the... Look at that. Though they had seen all these miracles, though we have seen what God has done over and over again in our lives and other people's lives, and yet we get gospel hardened. The word doesn't go into good ground. It goes on stony ground, and then the enemy comes and steals it. And we need to prepare the ground and receive the word into good ground so the enemy cannot steal it out of our spirit and out of our heart. Because, you see, you can even speak. The word that Jesus said that out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And you can speak the right words. But unless you really believe them, the enemy takes it away from you. When you left this morning after Sister Ruth ministered, how much of the teaching did you remember as you went to dinner, to lunch? You see what I'm saying? The enemy... we've become gospel hardened. We've heard the word and heard it over and over again, and we haven't walked in it, and the enemy just takes it out. We call them vultures. They stand outside the door, and as you go out the door, they steal the word. They stand on the parking lot waiting so they can steal it. And our eyes get blinded. We don't see spiritually, and we're not hearing spiritually. I wanted to go into this just to show you more and more that We are responsible for what we hear. We are responsible. Take heed what you hear. Lord gave me that years ago, and I know that I can't walk down two roads at one time. A double-minded man will receive nothing from the Lord. You say, what are you talking about? And when I'm needing healing, I don't need to go listen to a sermon on anything else. I need to stay on healing and stay in the Word and see what the Word says about deliverance for healing, or just stand on the Word for healing, or whatever, so that the enemy can't get in. You know that one of the tools that I've seen the enemy use in the area of deliverance is, and y'all probably going to get mad at me about this, but I'm saying it anyways, I believe that on the floor deliverance. If it goes on the floor, I just get right down there with them and pray. And if they don't get on the floor, that's okay too. If I believe, I can look in the eyes and see if they came out. And if I know they're gone, that's okay. But I was sitting and one night in the house, and I turned on the TV, and I have no idea who was talking or anything. And this man was up there preaching, and he said, "You're all delivered." I said, "Oh boy, I'm delivered. He set me free, Jim." And something in me said, "Why don't you do deliverance like that?" He thought it sounded good. Whatever that was talking to me. I said, I don't believe that. I started the hard way, the kind, on the floor kind, the binding and throwing them out, standing on the word and casting them out and staying with it until it got out. And some people get mad at me when I say that. But let me tell you something. If you can get them out by doing that, come to my church. I have a lady I'd like to introduce you to. I promise you I would love to have you come and minister to her. But I put you on guard. Be careful what you cover your ears. You try to make her bind her mouth, you know, go to bind her mouth. And you know how I bind her mouth? I get me a handful of tissue and I shove it in there. You think that's mean? Let me tell you something. I have been dealing with this lady for years, and we had her almost delivered. She came into our church, and she was beating her head, and she was hearing voices, and all kinds of things was going on. And I have worried with that lady and tried to get her to hear me. And we finally found out she didn't have her soul, and we began to call her soul back. And she was just really doing really great, and we... We're after this monster. You say, "You're giving the devil power." Honey, he's got it. He don't need me to give it to him. And we were real close to getting that thing out. And she missed services for about five different times, and which was very unusual for her because she's always there needing deliverance. And when she came back in, she was totally possessed by that spirit. And she went for several months with that thing. I wouldn't touch her. I was so mad at her. I had worked all that long time. And deliverance is not easy, girl. It drains you. But it's so rewarding when you see someone set free.
Amen.
She sits back there in the back of the church. And she does. She hinders a lot. Now, we just may have to throw her out now. I don't know. But I'm so mad at her, I wouldn't have any trouble doing it. No, I'm not mad. I'm disgusted with her. But she, Wednesday night, a week ago, she left the church and went home. She's manifested state. This thing had taken her over. We knew it. She never get close to me. A demon will call me every name of the book, say all kinds of things about me, but they don't want to get too close to me. I don't know why, because I'm really kind of lovable. But anyway, she left the church, and the next morning I got a phone call from her, and that was really unusual. And she says, "Mildred, I'm back again." I said, "Really?" And what had happened was, she said, that thing had taken her over, and she says, "You know what?" She said, "I don't know where I've been." I said, "Serves you right." I said, "I've dealt with you all these years, and years. We've been peeling her like an onion, you know? And it's been hard work, because we don't minister for a couple times a week. We didn't always minister to her. But the thing is, that she didn't know where she'd been. That thing had totally taken her over. And I said, "I got a word for you from the Lord. You don't know anything. That thing is going to kill you because you are not teachable. You won't hear anybody. You're doing your own thing. You think you can handle this yourself." I said, "God showed you. You can't." And I said, "Now, until you repent and go before the Lord," and I said, "You know that the word says you better pray and ask God to give you a spirit of repentance. You deliberately went out and did what you did, and this thing took over." And I said, "Let me tell you, it will do it again." You said you weren't very encouraging. I wasn't. You knew what I've been through with that woman. So if you can get this out, please come to my church and do it. I mean, easy. Any way you can get it out. Honey, anyway, just come do it. You say you give up on her until she's really willing to hear. But you know, I don't know whether she is. And my husband and I talked about it last week. And he said, "You know," he said, "we invested too much in that woman for her not to be free." I said, "But what can you do?" I said, "We cannot deliver her from her friends." And that means as long as she wants it, she's got him. And what her problem is, she doesn't have him. He has her. Going on. I told you I was going to shoot a lot of rabbits. Different trails, isn't it? You know, let's go over and look at the crucifixion of Jesus. And let's really look. Get a picture of the cross and what happened with Jesus upon the cross. And you say, "Well, I know." Well, let's look at it again. In Matthew chapter 27. You know, when we take the Lord's Supper, I wanted to do that again this time, but the Lord just kind of wanted me to, he showed me to just cover a lot of ground if I could. That when you take the Lord's Supper, any time you take the bread, you need to take it for the healing of your body. You take it for the healing of your body. Jesus said, "You cannot be his disciple unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood." And he was talking about eating his word and partaking of him. And so when we take the Lord's Supper, we take the bread and associate it with the stripes upon his back. And said, "Lord, you were beaten for my sickness and diseases. And I take this as healing." Someone, Shirley, was talking about she was fearful of the Lord taking the Lord's Supper because she'd been told, "You take it unworthily." You know, I think we all do it if we don't take it the way that we should. We need to appropriate what Jesus did. The healing by the stripes of Jesus and the blood for our salvation. He redeemed us without the shedding of blood. There's no remission of sin. And he went to the cross and he redeemed us. And we receive that and believe it. And if we will take the Lord's Supper. She said she took it every day for 5 months. Do you ever take the Lord's Supper at home by yourself for the healing of your body? So, well, I got to be in the church. No. You may have some ungodly preacher giving it to you. Excuse me, Lord. You don't know. You don't know. And so we need to take the Lord's Supper and remember what Jesus did. In verse 24 of chapter 27, we're going to see where it said, then released he Barabbas unto them. And when he had whipped and beaten him, Jesus, when he scourged Jesus, he delivered him to be crucified. Barabbas was the first one that was redeemed, was saved from death by the crucifixion of Jesus. It said, then the soldiers took Jesus into the common hall and gathered unto him the whole band of soldiers, and they stripped him and put on him a scarlet robe. And when they had plaited a crown of thorns, they put it upon his head and a reed in his right hand, and they bowed the knee before him and mocked him, saying, Hail, King of the Jews. And they spit upon him, and they took the reed, and they smote him on the head. And after they had mocked him, they took the robe off of him from him and put his own raiment on him and led him away to be crucified. You know, by the stripes of Jesus we're healed. First Peter tells us in Matthew 17 says that we were healed by the stripes of Jesus. And here we see that the scripture says that they put a crown of thorns upon his head. Thank you, Lord. They were not little rosebush thorns. I raise roses, and they can be terrible. I have all kinds of scratches through the summer from roses when you get into a rose garden. And they're terrible. Some of them are really, really sharp and long. These were big thorns. And they jammed that crown down on his head, the crown of thorns on his head, and the blood began to trickle down his face, run down his face. You know, that crown of thorns, I see it as a healing. The blood that was shed is a healing for the mind. Insanity, madness. We need to appropriate it for our sound mind. We want the mind of Christ. The devil wants to steal it. He said, but you have the mind of Christ. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. And the enemy has stolen so much. You know, Psalm 7, verse 2 says that the soul can be fragmented and torn. And Psalm 23:3 says that he restores my soul. So the enemy wants the soul, and he's stolen pieces of it. But you see, Jesus wore the crown of thorns. So we would have a sound mind, that we'd have our will free and our emotions. The enemy can bind your will. Lord, the Lord gave me the other day on this, the will being bound. And when the will is bound, the enemy comes in and out of your house at will. Have a lady in our church that can't remember anything back when she was a child. And she can't, she says she doesn't ever feel the presence of the Lord. She doesn't feel anything. She said, I don't have any emotion. And her emotions have been bound and her will's been bound. And I said, why don't you get delivered? Oh, I'm going to. So the plaiting of the crown of thorns was for the healing of our mind, of our headaches, as the blood went over the eyes, for the ears. Physical eyes, physical ears, and also spiritually. Do you hear the Lord like you want to? I don't. I want to hear him a lot better, a lot clearer. They pulled his beard out. They spit in his face. And they mocked him. Why do we get concerned, as Shirley was saying a while ago, about being called names and persecuted and laughed at? We had the police bring people back to our house, our church, that we have people from the mission come out there. One night they sent us a busload out there of women, and we were doing deliverance, and one got loose. I don't mean that ugly, but she literally got loose and took off out the door for anybody could stop her. And they found her and they brought her back. And Jim was thanking them for bringing them back. And they said, oh, we know about y'all. No problem. So, praise the Lord. Over in, let's see. Let's go to 2 Timothy. I said that he gave us a sound mind. You know, it's for the healing of our mind. And 2 Timothy in chapter 1 verse 7. He says, "For God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind." How many people in this place, and don't raise your hand, have had to deal with confusion working on your mind? How many people have had to deal with fear attacking your mind? Jesus went to the cross and wore that crown of thorns that you can be set free from that. And all you have to do is believe that when we call those things out, that they're coming out. Did you know that you can hinder your deliverance by sitting there and saying, "I don't have that"? You know, you need to be like I do when I'm sitting there under deliverance, which is not very often I get an opportunity to, because most of the time I'm doing it, that's why I have to do it, to have Jim work on me at home. And sometimes I go into church and the whole church works on me. They set me on the front row and they gather around me. And they just love it. I think I need to get them freed from a spirit of retaliation. They're retaliating. But we need to get free from this fear. And I started to say, if we call something out and you want to get offended, when we call spirits out, it doesn't, and if I'm looking at the ministering to someone and the Lord drops something in my spirit and I call that out, it doesn't mean that that's what you are. It means that spirit's there, and it probably came in through a bloodline curse. The sins of the fathers are visited on the children to the third and fourth generation. What do you know about your four generations back ancestors? Almost everyone has the curse of the bastard, the curse of illegitimacy, incest. That's what I meant to say, so. But you got the curse of the bastards, the curse of incest. You don't know if they were murderers, whether they were prostitutes or what they were. We only know about our parents and grandparents what they want us to know. And I've had people say, my grandma was the sweetest woman in the world. I mean, she was, don't you say she might have had some of that. And then they come back in and said, you know, she got sick and she had trouble, had a stroke or something, or wasn't in the right mind, and said, I couldn't believe the things came out of her mouth. What is that? Those are spirits that have never been cast out and dealt with. So it didn't mean that grandma walked in that. It meant that those things, she could have, we don't know, but it could have been from the sins of the fathers. And we are so full of pride, though, and if we sit there and say, well, I don't have that, you probably won't get any deliverance. But if you sit there and say, God, if that's in me, I want it out. You know the reason we're under these kind of curses is because no one else has ever broken them off of our family. And no member of our family has ever gone through this kind of deliverance to get rid of it off of us and off of our children and our children's children. And I thank God for the authority and the ability and the knowledge to know how to get free from it. So what has that got to do with being healed? It has everything to do with it, because we need to be healed and delivered from fear. Fear is the opposite of faith. The word says perfect love casts out fear. But I want to tell you something, when fear is working, your faith isn't. Fear and faith doesn't work at the same time. And fear stops your faith from working. And then after you get rid of the fear and bind it and cast the thing out, then we ask the Father, just fill you up with love, the love of God. We lose the love on the fear, because perfect love casts it out. And we want to go on now. Let me see. In the Matthew chapter 26, let's look at the nails in the feet of Jesus. Matthew 26 and verse 65, so then the high priest rent his clothes, saying, "He has spoken blasphemy. What further need have we of witness? Behold, now we have heard his blasphemy. What think ye?" That they answered and said, "He is guilty of death." Then did they spit in his face and buffet him, and others smote him with the palm of their hand, saying, "Prophesy unto us, thou Christ, who is he that smote thee?" Now Peter sat without. I think I've got the wrong one. No, let's go on with it anyway. We need to look at our denial of Jesus. But I want to see, that's the wrong scripture. I want to say he was nailed to the cross. reason why I wrote down the wrong number, I suppose. But I want you to look and see that the nails in his hands were for the ministry. 2732, is that what it is? Thanks. Okay. In verse 32, he said, well, praise the Lord. Okay, let's just go on. Let me just share with you, okay? And the nails in his hands, nail prints in his hands is for the laying on of hands in the ministry. The nails in his feet for your walk. The blood that was shed was for us to move and be his hands and his feet. That's okay. When they delivered him up to be crucified and put him upon the cross, it was for our healing, it was for the bruises, it was for our mental health, it was for every part of our whole, the total man. The blood that was shed was for the cleansing of our sins. And the piercing of his side, in John 19, when they pierced his side and blood and water came out. Let's look at that. But when they came to Jesus and saw that he was dead already, they brake not his legs. You know, the scripture says that not a bone of him shall be broken. But one of the soldiers with a spear pierced his side, and forthwith came out blood and water. And he that saw it bear a record, and his record is true. And he knoweth that he saith truth. That he saith truth, and that ye might believe. For these things are done that the scripture should be fulfilled. Not a bone of him shall not be broken. So when that blood and the water came out of his side, the blood for the cleansing and the water for the washing of the water of the word. I was seeing this as, you know, over in Ephesians it says that we're washed by the water of the washing of the water of the word. And so when, as Jesus went to the cross and this came, the blood came forth, he took care of every part of our being, our head, from the head, our head down to our feet. He didn't leave anything uncovered. And there's, and my question is, I have something I'm worn with, I want to share, and I'm not real sure. Praise the Lord. My question is, why do we get under such attacks? Why do we, when Jesus did all this for us? Well, let me tell you what I think. I can't prove it, but I'm going to tell it. So I throw it out, and you do work on it, and you tell me. You know, I read Genesis 2, chapter 2, verse 7, where it said, that God, you know, God spoke everything into being except man. And he formed some of the animals out of the dust. I forgot which ones. But he formed man out of the dust of the ground. And then he breathed the spirit in him. He put breath in him. And then he put a soul in man. Well, the dust of the ground, is that the right that the devil has to attack us like he does? The word says over in Genesis 3, God said that the serpent would eat the dust. I have been digging in this and digging in this, and I have found that there's a soul in the flesh. The flesh has a mind of its own. I've got scripture to prove it. I have looked and I found where the flesh has a mind, and it has a will, and it has emotions. What is that? The soul. I read you scripture in James that says, a double-minded man will save nothing from the Lord. God is building his kingdom in us, in our spirit, in our soul, but it's in our spirit man, and the devil has tried to build his in our flesh. God is building his kingdom in our spirit man, and the devil is building his in our flesh. Two trees. Tree of knowledge and of good and evil, and tree of life. God is everything God gives us, the devil has a counterfeit for. He's building his kingdom, and Satan wants to take over. There's a war for the soul going on, the flesh and the spirit man. And I've been digging into this to see, and the more that we eat, see, I've been talking word, and we've been hearing it all day. The more we eat from the tree of life, the more we overcome the tree of knowledge of good and evil. There's such a warfare in us. James 4 says, from whence comes wars and fightings among thee? Come they not from within you? You know, God's word says was it Rebecca that had the Esau and Jacob, said the elder will serve the younger. He said there's two kingdoms in her womb. All the way through the Bible, he talks about the two kingdoms. He talks about it through Adam and Eve, through Cain and Abel. And if you'll follow it, it's a thread all the way down. In the Garden of Eden, the serpent was a serpent. He was a snake. In Revelation, he's a dragon. We're in the book of Revelation today. And that thing is trying to destroy us. That's why it's so important to get your flesh healed, because it's the flesh is where he works. That's where he puts these sicknesses and things on you, because he's trying to destroy you. He wants to kill you. And if he can't take your soul over where he can control you, he will kill you if you let him. And we have to overcome. And when you look in Revelation and you see this beast, I didn't tell you what the spirit was that took this woman over, did I? It's the beast of Revelation 13. Came up out of the sea. The sea speaks of multitudes of people. And he's rising up today because man has never put him down and admitted that he's there. I was sick and tired of being cursed. You say, you get cursed? Oh, yes, every time I go into church. This thing has been attacking for at least 2 or 3 years while we've been trying to get it out. You say you hadn't got it out? I told you she didn't want it out. That's why I don't know if there's any hope for her. People, we have got to overcome this flesh. I have some revelation on Romans 9, 8. Let me read it to you. And I'm throwing this out for you to judge and you to get in there and dig for yourself. I'm not saying it's gospel, is what I believe, though. It's true. That's what I believe. I've been in the warfare with it for so long. Listen. In Romans 8 and verse, let me give you a scripture on the carnal mind. Verse 7 says, but the carnal mind is enmity against God. The fleshly mind is enmity against God. It means it hates God and anything that's for God. Says, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. But verse 9 says, but ye are not in the flesh, but in the spirit. So be that the spirit of God dwelleth in you. Now, if any man have not the spirit of Christ, he is none of his. If you don't have the spirit of Christ in you, you're none of God. You don't belong to God. I'm going to where I'm going, okay? Can you see why I've been in so much warfare lately? He said in verse 10, if Christ be in you, now this, he said, if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin. We keep telling the body to die, but the body's already dead. It's full of demons and sicknesses and diseases. God wants it cleaned up. 1 Thessalonians 5:23 says he wants the spirit, soul, and soul and body preserved, blameless. It also said the body is the spirit, soul, and body preserved, blameless until the coming of the Lord. He wants us to overcome this flesh, get it cleaned up, get the spots and wrinkles out of it, so the glory of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, say you got the kingdom in you, whether you believe it or not, it's there. It may not be growing. It's according to what you believe, what you're doing, to let God come forth in you. But he wants it to, the power of God to be so strong in you that the glory of God is upon you that others can see Jesus. Someone quoted it last night. This has been a long day. I can't remember when they quoted it. And they're talking about we'll change from glory to glory. Well, folks, we ain't not got the glory yet. God wants us to overcome this. And I believe that what he's saying to us here, as he said that, but it's the spirit of him that raised, verse 10, back up again. If Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin. Our bodies. See, we belong to the devil before we came to Jesus. Because there's only two forces in the world. It's the devil and God. And so, our bodies were dead. We belong to the devil, and he had to write to us. Now, my whole point of this was, I said, God, I'm sick and tired of having curses loosed upon me. I do everything I can that I know to do. I bind, I loose, and I cover myself with the blood of Jesus. And I, sorry, it really got me. I've been isolated so long, I'm almost ready to give up everything. You know, I just stay in the Word and get to the place you get so bogged down. You know, Dead Sea Christian, taking in the Word, not giving all of it out. I get some of the things that the Lord gives me, I hesitate to share. But I was asking the Lord about this. I want to know what legal right the devil has. The Word says, a curse cannot causeless come. And that's true. The Word's true. So why was the curses coming? And that was the answer I got. The devil has an opening to the flesh. Now, if you don't want to believe it, that's fine. I'm not even trying to get you to believe it. You know what my job is to tell you. Yes, ma'am. We walked in the devil's kingdom. Be honest, we walked in him and his kingdom. We belong to him. He'd say jump, we'd say ha ha. That's truth, Mildred. We don't like to say these things, but I think it's time we don't water it down. We just tell it like it is. But my thing is, seek the Lord on this, and let's get these things out of our flesh. You want to get them out of your flesh? Praise the Lord. Well, I hope I haven't confused anybody. Hope I hadn't. Can I talk to you later? I need to get on with this, okay? I want to do some deliverance, and we only have a little short time, all right? I'm going to go after some spirits in the area of sickness, and you know what? Turn with you and G and all of y'all help if we need help. Okay, I was just thinking. Praise the Lord. Does anybody want deliverance?
Yeah.
Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Let me find my list. Father, I thank you for deliverance. I thank you that deliverance is the children's bread.
Yes.
We praise you and give you glory, Father. Your word says that the children's bread is deliverance. And we receive it now in the name of Jesus. I bind the forces of darkness again, Lord. And I ask you, Lord, to remove anything from anyone's spirit that they're having any problems with. And Lord, anything that I said that is not of you. And Lord, we just ask you to bind the words, that your word in, that the enemy can't steal it in the name of Jesus Christ. Seal it in us, Father. Seal the word in us, that the enemy can't take the word out. In Jesus' name, we thank you and praise you. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. In the name of Jesus, I come against the spirits of infirmity. In Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus, everybody put your feet on the floor, flat on the floor. Uncross your arms. This is the sign of rebellion. And that's why we always want to do this and cross our legs. In the name of Jesus, spirits of infirmity, loosen and come out of there now. In Jesus' name, turn them loose. Let them go. Let them go. In the name of Jesus, sickness and diseases, let them go in Jesus' name. I call out the spirit of death in the name of Jesus Christ. Listen to me. Let them go in Jesus' name. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, spirits of cancer, skin cancer, colon cancer, tumors, I call them out now in Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus, listen and come out of them. In the name of Jesus Christ. In the name of Jesus, all infections, come out now in Jesus' name. Breast cancer, come out there. Cancer of the blood, in the name of Jesus, loosen them and let them go in Jesus' name. Spirits of infirmity, death, cancer, skin cancer, colon cancer, tumors, come out now in Jesus' name. The Lord Jesus Christ rebukes you. The Lord Jesus Christ rebukes you. Come on out there. Infection. Breast cancer, cancer of the blood, high blood pressure. I break the curses of high blood pressure over the bloodline in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, back to the Garden of Eden on both sides of the family. Listen to me. Come out now in Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. In the name of Jesus. Bone diseases. All the cancer of the bone, any bone diseases, come out there now in Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus, let them go. Let them go. Turn loose and come out in Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus, cancer of the pancreas, spirits of arthritis. Did I hear somebody say arthritis? Arthritis, come out there. Let them go in the name of Jesus. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, loosen. Loosen and come out there. I break every hold you have, command you to loosen and come out there now in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, allergies, arthritis, cataracts, epilepsy, spirits of epilepsy. Come out there in Jesus' name. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, emphysema. In the name of Jesus, stroke, heart attacks. Listen to me. Come out now in Jesus' name. You demons that are attacked in the physical body, you come out of the flesh now in Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Spirits of tiredness, heart enlargement, heart murmur, glaucoma, come out now in Jesus' name. Skin rashes, leukemia, let them go. Turn them loose. Migraine headaches, loosen them. Loosen them and let them go in Jesus' name. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, kidney infection, disease, lung, heart disease, heart palpitation, heart failure, hole in the heart, come out there now in Jesus' name. Smothering, spiritual smothering, mind, all insanity, spirits of insanity, madness, fears, all fears, come out there now in Jesus' name. Spirits of paranoia, let them go. Let them go in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Come out there, let them go in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, spirits of suicide, death, in the name of Jesus, loosen. Spirits of suicide, come out now in Jesus' name. In the name of the Lord Jesus, let them go. Let them go in Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus, spirits of tiredness, exhaustion, mind diseases, come out now in Jesus' name. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, loosen them. Loosen and let them go in Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus, all the spirits of fear, turn them loose and come out. Depression, spirits of depression, inferiority, spirits of schizophrenia, come out in the name of Jesus. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, rheumatoid arthritis, come out now in Jesus' name. Let them go. Let them go in the name of the Lord Jesus. Let them go. Spirits of seizure in the name of Jesus. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Spirits of gluttony, come out there now in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Spirits of alcohol, alcoholism, come out there. I break every curse of alcoholism back to the Garden of Eden and command those spirits out now. The sugar diabetes that goes with it, come out there now in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Let them go. Turn them loose and let them go in Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus. Spirits of unforgiveness, come out there. Resentment, come out now in Jesus' name. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Violent spirits, I call every violent spirit out in the name of Jesus. Murder spirit, spirits of murder, come out there now. Backbiting, confusion, come out in Jesus' name. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, let them go. Let them go. Loosen and come out there now in Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus, spirits of deafness, I call deafness out in Jesus' name. Headaches, headaches, come out there now in Jesus' name. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, loosen. Loosen and let them go. All the fear, I come against fear, spirits of fear, turn them loose. Turn them loose and let them go. Spirits of fear. Fear. Loosen and let them go in Jesus' name. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Come on out there. Fear. In the name of Jesus. Loosen and let go. In Jesus' name. All the tormenting fear. All the torment. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Let them go. Let them go. Spirits of infirmity. Death. Cancer. I'm going to go back over these sicknesses, diseases now. Come on. In the name of Jesus. Infirmity. Spirits of infirmity. In the name of Jesus. Spirits of death. Cancer. Skin cancer. Colon cancer. In the name of Jesus. Let them go. Let them go. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Listen. Listen and let them go. In the name of Jesus. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Cancer of the blood. High blood pressure, in Jesus' name. Infection in the mouth, in the name of Jesus. Turn loose and come out, in Jesus' name. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We had a lady in our church heal from lupus through deliverance. We called broke the curse and called it off of her. I don't know where it came from or what family line or anything, but she had been pronounced by a doctor to have lupus. And we called it out, and she went back, and they couldn't find a sign of it. We praise the Lord for that. In the name of Jesus, come on out of there. Come out. We had a lady healed of cancer. She had blood cancer. And my little granddaughter did deliverance on her. She was 9 years old. Set her down in the chair, and we were doing one-on-one deliverance, and so my granddaughter just went over and sat down in front of her and says, and the lady, her name was Laura, said, you going to pray for me? And she said, yeah. And she sat down there and she started calling spirits off of her and went after sickness. Laura told her what she wanted called off. And honey, she was just up chucking. And I looked over there and I told her father, I said, go there. She liable to manifest that woman. He said, Mama, she's already done it. And she was just getting delivered. But you know, children that are raised in this, they have faith. And the spirits just hate them because they say that they have their faith is pure, is what they say about that faith. That the children have pure faith. And she ministered deliverance with her, and she was healed of cancer. So we've seen so many different ones, and this man that I was talking about that I love, he was healed of epilepsy. No, was that what it was? Yeah, he took Dilantin, I believe he did. Something. Anyway, he was 70-something years old when God healed him. And he's 80-something now. And I'll tell you, after about 5 years after he'd been delivered from that, it tried to come back. He was going home from church one night, and he called me when he got home. He said, Mildred, he said, you know what? He said, that thing tried to come back tonight. And I said, what did you do? He said, I rebuked it. I said, that's the thing to do. Don't let it come back. I said, that it would try to make you die. And he's never had another problem with it. Never. God just totally healed him and delivered him from it. So we have seen so many delivered through. And then after you get the deliverance for sicknesses, you need to read the word on healing. You need to get into it and fill your spirit with the word. So if a symptom tries to manifest itself again, you just put it, rebuke it. Said, resist the devil, he'll flee from you. My husband had a saying. He used to say, when a headache tried to hit him, he would say, no, you don't. I rebuke you in Jesus' name. Go on down the road. Somebody down there is waiting on you. They got medicine. Go down there and give it to them. And, you know, it worked for him. It really did. But you know what? The enemy tries to steal your faith. That's why I'm teaching deliverance and healing. It's because the enemy comes in and tries to steal your faith. And you have to continue building your faith with the word. You have to continue using your tongue the right way. And speak life instead of death. You know, we can be the most negative people sometimes. And we need to be, we need to believe what we're saying. You know, the word says over in 3 John, God said, beloved, I wish that you may prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. But see, that means that you've got to walk in the word, you've got to believe your soul. We want all of our soul back. Did you know that you need to be calling your soul back? You need to call it back from wherever it's been removed and say, well, I got all my soul. Well, I hope you have. Let me tell you this. And I'm gonna bind up in a minute, just a minute. But when we get older, people say, people forget they have memory lapses and they can't remember like they used to and all this stuff. And people say, well, you know, they're just getting old. And they speak that on people. That's not true. That's not true. You see, because of a lack of knowledge, God's people have perished. And because they didn't know the enemy could steal their memory or block their memory, take bits of their soul, you should read some of those scriptures on the soul. If you don't, there's some tapes back there on the soul. Because you need every portion of your soul. And you know, I heard a man say years ago that if people are not insane in an insane asylum, they're just possessed by demons. And because no one's believed that demons existed, except I used to hear people say they're across the ocean. I still hear that sometime, and I thought, yeah, they are on this side now. They've always been here. But the thing is, we need to call our soul back, and we need, you know, the word says commit the keeping of your soul to Jesus. Over in 1 Peter, I think it's a what chapter it is, but we need to commit the keeping of our soul when we ask the Father to restore our soul, because he said, he restores my soul. Then after you receive it, after you get it, receive it all back, you need to commit it to the Lord. Say, Lord, I give it to you, and I'm thanking you. Thank you for protecting it and guarding it. And Jesus, I love the word. He said to keep, let him protect it and keep it. So when you see someone that's a member of your family is having trouble with their memory, ask the Father to restore. And then break the curse of the words that's been loose. You know, we curse people with our words. You know, there's a scripture in the somewhere, I don't remember where it is right at the moment, but it said that words are arrows. One of the ladies was talking about arrows. She saw an arrow coming at her from someone speaking to her, some stuff at her. Well, words are arrows, and they find a mark. And so we need to break the curses that have been spoken over our family. And you can do that even if they're not in deliverance or not even believers. You know what I mean? Not walking in any of this. In fact, you should. You should stand in the gap for them. So, Father, we thank you for the deliverance. Lord, I ask you now, let's raise our hands and ask the Father to fill us afresh and anew with his Holy Spirit. Father, fill us with the Spirit. We ask you, just pray. Father, let the Holy Ghost come down in Jesus' name. Pray in the Spirit right now. Let's get filled again, fresh and anew. Father, we thank you. We thank you and we praise you for your presence, for your deliverance, for your word, Father, in Jesus' name. Fill us, Father. Fill us up to overflowing in Jesus' name. We loose within each of us, Father, the Spirit of the Lord, the Spirit of the Lord, the Spirit of the fear of the Lord, the Spirit of wisdom and knowledge, the Spirit of a might, understanding, counsel, and light. We thank you for it. We loose a sound mind and love and power, Father, in Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Father, I ask you now. I bind up every spirit that's been left in here in the name of Jesus Christ. And Father, I ask you to loose your angels to come forth and to drive them out, to take them away from this place and take them to the bottomless pit, bind them in the pit till the day of judgment in Jesus' name. Lord, I thank you for the authority that's in the name of Jesus. We bind backlash and retaliation in Jesus' name. We bind its power. We cut it off from harassing anyone or anyone's family. We thank you, Father. And Lord, we just lose healing now. We ask for the healing power of your Spirit to minister healing to every place where these spirits have lodged in the name of Jesus. We just pray, Father, for complete restoration in Jesus' name. And we thank you for it. Father, we thank you for your mercy and your grace and your goodness in Jesus' name. Amen and amen and amen.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.